Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to our second hour here on Circles of Change. We're connecting across the border into Canada, Calgary specifically. Welcome to the show, Sean Cornett. How are you this morning, Sean?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I couldn't be better. Let me give a brief introduction. Sean is a leadership and business management consultant based in Calgary, assisting organizations to effectively and strategically manage their business with a very keen eye on developing people for leading in a changing world. What that mean? Mergers, acquisitions, technology shifts, or organic growth. Armed with a BS in geography and an MS in environmental studies, Sean began her career as an ICE and environmental researcher supporting oil and gas exploration in the Beaufort Sea, gaining project management skills and frontline and field experience. From there, she participated in large-scale business reengineering projects and moved into results-focused general management as a leader. Her career experiences indeed were within Canadian Marine Drilling, Amoco Canada, and British Petroleum. Sean went on to earn a PhD in human and organizational development, which served her well as she became vice president of HR and talent management at Nexum, which is an upstream oil and gas company. Sean and her team covered corporate offices, field operations, and international divisions in the UK, the Middle East, and the United States. And from there, she launched a consulting practice to work with executives, boards, and HR leaders to address key people issues and effectively support business success. Might also mention that Sean has also offered her skills to multiple nonprofit organizations. She's currently chair of the board of the Boys and Girls Club of Calgary, a board member of the Center for Affordable Water and Sanitation Technology, and involved in the United Way philanthropic and membership efforts. And Sean joined the corporate board of Hemera Incorporated, which is an environmental consulting company in Western Canada. So, Sean, our recent opportunity to meet, of course, what attracted me to have you come on the show is, my word, geography and environmental studies, now to HR, to consulting. Would you ever have thought that that path would evolve, push you, pull you? How'd this, tell us some of that story.
No, I wouldn't. I can't say that any part of it was very specifically planned. It sort of evolved as I went along. I think all of the pieces, though, have sort of built on each other. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that I first somehow early on had this idea that if somebody offered an interesting opportunity or some kind of piece of work or a project or something, you know, unless there was a really good reason to say no, I would always say yes.
Right.
Sounds interesting.
Exactly.
Let's see what we can do with this. And so the very broad experience sort of continued to build. And going from the physical sciences to sort of social sciences and organizational science, I think is a logical progression. I think actually one that is very well suited. I think you can see lots of different, you know, people, physicists who are philosophers, and I don't think it's uncommon to go from physical sciences to the human sciences and make that transition. I think human sciences are far more complicated than many of the physical sciences are. But no, it's been a wonderful journey, and I have been interested and excited in all the pieces I've been involved with, and it just keeps going.
Isn't that fun? Well, mm-hmm. The time in which you did your work in geography and environmental mm-hmm. studies and then opted to go into oil and gas, and not in some pristine office or engineering or research setting, but mm-hmm. right out in the field, mm-hmm. I can't imagine there were too many people, specifically women like you, out doing that.
No, I was, I was very often the only woman. Certainly, you know, there were times when I'd be in the field and the only other woman would be in the cleaning staff or, you know, mm-hmm. the cook or whatever on mm-hmm. the site we were in. But, you know, it was always, I think it depends a little bit on how you approach it, because for the most part, I was up there to do a job, and other people were up there to do their jobs,
sure.
and we wanted to get things done well, and so there was certainly an element of respect, and I was, you know, in large part treated as just one of the people there, a little bit different. There was always a bit of a novelty when I showed up, but,
sure.
but certainly worked very well together, and there were times when, you know, I'd get a little bit of extra assistance because I was a bit sort of different than the rest. So,
well, and I could tell you from my standpoint, obviously, I'm a few years behind, but not many behind you in terms of that years of service. Same way to be in the automotive business myself and working with the operators out on the factory floor and just having the time of my life. And and I suspect for young professionals that are listening in, particularly women, is there's times you can really play that to your advantage, but also certainly you have to kind of steer away from the times it might get you too much attention that you kind of really don't want. You still want to stay behind the below the radar screen, particularly, you know, you're stepping in then to do process reengineering and large-scale business change. Those are not for the light of heart, are they?
Right, right, exactly. And so, yeah, I think it's very much finding that balance. And I think for each woman, it would be a little bit different. And there were challenges. I mean, there was one time when I went to the Arctic and I flew up one day to start a project, a research project we've been preparing for a couple months. And the people in the field found out that Sean was not a guy and actually put me on a plane same day to go back south. They wouldn't have me on board. We sorted it out. It took us 10 days to sort it out. I did go back up and finish the project. But, you know, it wasn't always easy to do. But I think maintaining that level of professionalism, knowing what you're doing, and really respecting and wanting to work with others, I think is another piece of it. Yeah.
But also to actually have your career. I mean, it's one thing to go through the invigorating intellectual stimulation of the classroom in terms of your bachelor's and master's, but there's nothing like connecting the dots in a real applied area, is there?
Yeah, exactly. You learn so much, and I think that that's what is one of the things that I've brought forward with me through my most recent sort of career piece around organizational effectiveness is really having been on the front line, really having been out in the field and really, you know, knowing what it is to be told, you know, this is your budget or this is the situation that you have to solve or fix or whatever. There's a lot of pressures. And so how do you be very practical and apply what you know around organizational behavior and people behavior to real life situations and make it really stick?
Or the other thing we always used to say is, you know, when the people visited you that says, hi, we're from the corporate office, we're here to help you, that you always would say, okay, now we know how to work around this, but also always warning one another, if you ever take the corporate assignment, make sure you take your own oxygen because they must breathe funny air over there. Right?
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
You know, Sean, to step though from the sciences, although you make it sound like just a fluid, logical step that you then would go back and throw yourself into such an arduous task as getting a doctorate degree in human relations and organizational development. That is nonetheless a pretty bold departure, I would think, for most people that don't bring that to the table. Of course, I did something similar coming from engineering into change management as my focus of my doctorate work. But then, you know, you leveraged it and then also took steps in the field of HR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I actually, I had ended up through a series of circumstances doing some, a bit of training and a bit of sort of continuous and business improvement in the organization I was in. And because there were projects where we were trying to improve things and, you know, having tried, you know, solving problems. And it's interesting because if you look at environmental research or environmental science, it's not quite the same as engineering. It gives you a huge understanding of things like, you know, the hydrological cycle or the integrated nature of things or how everything depends on everything else. And so there was some of that philosophy that just really stuck with me. And so I was drawn into projects around, you know, we used to call it continuous improvement or BPR, business process reengineering, and those sorts of things. And so I was already doing some of that work. And then when it came along to be an opportunity that said you could do spend more time or focus more of your efforts here, and to be honest or fair, the Beaufort Sea was starting to shut down, so ice research wasn't going to be quite the same as it was before. It was very interesting to me, and I found that much of the way I thought was quite applicable, and so it didn't seem like an illogical jump for me. It just seemed like, oh, this would be the next sort of thing that I need to learn. So I guess that lifelong learner thing starts early.
Absolutely. I can also, in my side of the quadrant, similarly, is I'll never forget the time I went through my annual performance review from the president of the firm I reported to, and him saying to me, he says, you know, you've done an extraordinary job in getting business results and so on and so forth. His, but you know, there are times I really think you're just an HR executive donning the cloak of a general manager and an engineer. Now, he meant that in a denigrating way, a criticism. And I looked at him and I said, you know, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. And his jaw dropped, because I followed up with, he said, wouldn't it be something if more of our leaders and organizations really felt first and foremost their job was strategy, leadership, change management from the people side, not just the numbers, et cetera?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I mean, one executive that I worked with about 10 years ago now, was head of the chemicals business. And he was a really excellent executive. And, I mean, they, you know, everybody has their places where they were working.
We were
coaching on one area, but he said, you know, one of the things that had really shifted his thinking, he was a chemical engineer and did an MBA and all the rest of that. At one point, the company he had worked for required every line manager to spend between 6 and 18 months in HR. And then they go back to the line.
And that's brilliant.
And he said, I learned so much. He said, I didn't like it very much, but he learned so much and carried a lot of that with him.
Well, great. Well, we're speaking with Shawn Cornett, and her company is Cornett Consulting and Collaboration. Tell us about your selection of that name. Three C's, I'll say.
Yes, well, that's one. The alliteration's quite nice there. But I spent, so the majority of my career has been inside large organizations, either multinationals like Amoco and BP, or most recently Nexen Oil and Gas, which is a Canadian company. Often these companies would bring in consultants, and so they would be the large consulting firms that would come in, and there would be, you know, some division that needed fixing, or there'd be a disposition that had to happen, or a merger, or whatever. And when those, or it may be that you have an executive who brings in a consulting firm that has a particular program. The program or the effort would come in, they'd spend, you know, 6 or however many months. When they use the term consulting, what they mean is, we have the right answer, we'll give it to you, we'll fix you, and then we're out of here and you're on your own. My view of consulting is very different than that. It's about, truly about getting in and talking with people, finding what's going on. And so I had to add the word collaboration, because that's what it's about. The other piece around collaboration is that I believe in every organization or every group that I've certainly worked with in the last few years, there is a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience. And my role as the consultant is to collaborate, find what that knowledge is, the ideas and the experience, and bring it together in a way that they can achieve what they're looking for. So it was very much purposeful, using consulting, but pairing it with collaboration, because I think the word consulting gets misused in many areas.
Absolutely, just as much as the word coaching does, because coaching can still come across as, I come in, sit on the sidelines, help you call the plays, and then I walk away and think you're still going to win the game. Yeah.
So exactly. Yeah.
And I think, if anything, that word collaboration, and also the word co-creation, and what's unique for consultants like you and I, is we haven't been external consultants that long. We bring more with us, our line experiences, which sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, I've got to sometimes hold that at bay, because I can too quickly jump to the conclusion of, oh, this looks like when I did this. And so I want to be careful that you still have to turn over all the rocks and see what all the bugs and scorpions and occasional snakes are before you jump to the conclusion that you have something can even create people next level.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and so as much as, and I've had my own practice now for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, You know, that 20 years I spent inside corporations was it was a lot of fun, especially the first parts of it. But the last part was a huge learning opportunity as well in terms of being exposed to lots of different things. And, you know, everything from doing absolutely straight HR like payroll and and benefits and compensation plans, not my favorite thing, but, you know, you have to do everything, performance. So all of those sort of technical things, which allows, it's sort of like that encyclopedia, the Google in the back of your mind, as you listen and help people think through, okay, so what about this, and ask questions that, that can help them get to, okay, this is going to work for us, and this is the way we want to approach it.
So I suspect that the way you start in your business, not unlike mine, kind of reflects on your earlier comment, is not walking in with an established model or program, but rather walking in with your antenna up to really listen.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, talking with you the other day, the word model, as in leadership model or team building or engagement model, I kind of have an allergic reaction to that because I just, models presuppose you know everything that's going on, and I don't think that, now that's one way of using it, you can use semantics, whatever, but I think it's more about understanding where the group is, where the person is, what's going on, and then bringing all the various different approaches you can, the different perspectives, and bringing them to apply. I mean, it's like you commented, like coaching. You know, a coach doesn't use one way to address the same, all of the different individuals they work with. The best coaches know how to adapt and modify what they're doing so that they can meet that person where they are. And I think it's the same with both individuals, executives, small businesses. They're all in slightly different spaces. So you need to be able to be flexible and adaptable and have a real depth of understanding and experience you can draw on.
That's right. Can you give us an example of some of the tools you've found most effective to work with the teams and the clients you're now partnering up with?
Yes, and that's, you know, one of the things that we have in common is our association with Mark Samuel and some of his work with Impact.
And accountability,
Yes, on accountability. And one of the things that I found most effective, even while I was inside corporate working with teams or groups, is helping them first to sort out what is their purpose. Now, different teams will use different ways of explaining that. It could be their mission, their mandate, their vision. It could be their, you know, contribution to the organization, their client group, whatever. But making sure that they're all quite clear about where they're starting from. Why are they there? What's the business reason for them being there? And so once that's established, then you can look at the team and say, so, you know, each of us has a different role. Let's understand how all our roles fit together to support what we're trying to get to. And then you start to get into some of the things around strategy and look at your external drivers, perhaps, or what risk there may be. So there's lots of different tools you can use after that. But when you're working with any organized, even when I'm working with my nonprofits, whether it's the Boys and Girls Club or others, the important part is to understand and have everybody have conversation about why are we here in the first place? What are we trying to achieve? And so starting with that, whatever that looks like, and then working out to say, okay, what do we each bring to the table? What do we have to watch out for? What are the strategies we need, goals? And then taking it down to the finer points of how are we going to work together? And that may be, you know, the team's not, doesn't get along, or they speak four different languages, or
literally or figuratively.
Yeah, I worked with one team that had to try and communicate. There was a production kind of team between Yemen and Calgary. So we have field office in Yemen. We went on Calgary, and they both are, you know, in the same work, but we had different languages, different time zones, and we actually spent quite a bit of time really sorting through in quite a bit of detail how they're going to communicate, because that's what was happening, was it was miscommunication. They all understood what they were trying to get to, and we confirmed that, and then we said, so what's not working here? Well, it was just the physical act of communication that was difficult.
So, which, by the way, I'd almost say, as complicated as that might sound, sometimes those are the easiest problems to resolve.
Yes,
as opposed to all the other other things that are embedded in our own psyches and backgrounds and the like. We're speaking with Shawn Cornett, by the way, from Cornett Consulting Global in nature, to her background and how she's building her business now as a consultant. Shawn, the word change management, I mean, some people right away, just like you said, you have an allergic reaction to the word model. Mm-hmm. The same change management, people are like rolling their eyes like, well, yeah, mm-hmm. we all have that. Why not? But you're talking about something really pretty specific here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and for me, it's about it relates to our previous conversation. It's about understanding how, if you want to change something, how to make that happen and be sustainable.
Right.
And for me, you know, it's back to some of the basics of understanding what's the problem, what needs to be changed. It's almost the 5 W's. Mm-hmm. What do you need to change? What's the best way of making that happen? So it's the sort of problem solving, understanding, building on things that have worked well before, things that have not worked well. But once you have your plan, for me, change management comes in to say, okay, we have a plan here. We know where we want to be. Who is going to be impacted and how? And that's the part that traditionally, people put one little spreadsheet together and say, okay, it's this many people, we're going to send them an email, and this person yep. I'll meet with, and that's done. It's not that simple. Who is going to be impacted and how needs to have time spent on it. You need to think about it both personally, business-wise, teams impacted, what are people losing, where might they feel threatened, and then what can you do about minimizing that impact so that they understand what's going on. They may not like it, but most people will get on board if they can understand what the business case is. If provide them training sometimes if you need to, if there are things that they're going to have to do differently. There's lots around the change management. It's not complicated. It's based on a fundamental belief in being respectful of everyone and assuming people want to do a good job. And how do you help them, facilitate them to where they can do that in this in the shift from one state to a second state?
Well, you know, and that also goes back to your whole comment about the vitality necessity of communication. And it's more than just one email, as you said. It's the dialogue. It's what are you hearing? What are you not hearing? Mm-hmm. And I would think the complexity gets added up, and I suspect you see this from your vantage point based out of Canada, and that is having so many more active generations in the workforce at the same time.
Yeah. You know, we often sort of categorize and say, oh, the younger generation or the older generation or the boomers or the whatever. Yeah. You know, if you really take a step back, and in fact, there's some research that's recently been done, the Gen Ys are not very different than the boomers.
Right.
And Gen X aren't very different either. Underlying all of us is a desire to be respected, to do work that we value, to gain some kind of recognition and contact with others. And it may look a little bit different mm-hmm. about how that happens, but those are the underlying drivers of every person, regardless of generation, and figuring out how to... A boomer wants as much time or ability to manage their own time as a Gen Y does. You know, we want to do it because we've got aging parents to look after or whatever.
Exactly.
They want to do it because they've got young families to look after. But it's the same issue of how do we manage our own time? How do we be accountable for what we have to deliver and do it the way we think is best? So, it does get complicated, but I think if we go back to some of the very practical, and pragmatic is a word that has been used to describe me many levels, and it comes from, you know, the field days and such. You know, what's practical here, really?
Right.
What's the essence of what we're trying to do? Respect people and help them be effective as they possibly can.
You bet. Great. Well, Shawn, one more question for you. How do you think you've changed the most by helping others manage change?
That's a very good question. I think probably... being more adept at dealing with change when it comes at me myself.
Okay. Yep.
And really continuing to learn and to listen.
Exactly.
And, you know, listening is a skill. People have it. you can never work on it enough.
Exactly.
That skill of listening and collaborating is huge. And so I continue to work. I've learned lots. I continue to work on it. But I would say those are the...
Beautiful.
That would be
well put. Well, thank you very much, Sean, for joining us again. This has been Sean Cornett from Cornett Consulting and Collaboration up in Calgary. Have a great day. Thanks for contributing today.
Thank you so much.
You
it was
bet.
Wonderful.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.